Добрый день. Спасибо, что вы выбрали компанию Phil Henry Air. Наш полет будет проходить на высоте 300 тысяч фит. И еще ватка. Наш полет включает борщ. Я еще хочу упомянуть Чернобыль. And now, here's Phil.
Leo Blanco. It's just, it goes down good. It mixes well with a nice little beer back and all that stuff, okay? I'm not drinking the bottle down to get the worm from the, none of that stuff. I mean, it's good stuff, that Don Julio Blanco. I mean, that's like $5 a bottle. Come on. So I surveyed the crowd. They say that, you know, a lot of public speakers, they'll look at the crowd, see what kind of people that they're with so that they can sort of sculpt their comments. Well, it's the same way. I think it's really the same way when you're at a party or at a function like that. One of these fundraisers for these arts plazas where there's a lot of really moneyed folks, people who've really got some change going, man, and they've got significant influence in the community. You're going to survey the crowd. What kind of booze should you drink? If you're a public speaker, you survey the crowd as to see what kind of comments you should make. Same thing. Each and every one of us, where we are should dictate what kind of hooch we're going to put away that night, as opposed to just the standard stuff that we might drink. You know, Budweiser ain't going to make it with a crowd like that, I don't think. Not that, and I realize there are many of you saying, what difference does it make to you? And it wouldn't make any difference to me. I'm going to be who I am, and to hell with all of those people. Well, that's fine, but you still look like you're slumming it a little bit. You look like a slob. Because some of these people you want to do business with, you want to meet and greet, and if you're standing there with a long neck bottle of Bud while they got the brandy snifter going, it doesn't work. So I looked at the crowd. I said, "Well, this is not a tequila and beer crowd. I'm not going to start throwing back shots of tequila and doing the long neck bottles of what is that stuff that I drink? I can't even remember. It starts with a B and it ends with an E, and that stands for pool. What is that? Bass. I drink that Bass and I have a tequila shot." No, I didn't do that. Saturday night, I looked at the crowd. I did ask the guy, do you have tequila? And he looked at me like, what are you, some kind of a creep? What are you talking about? Freaking tequila here? Sir? I say, sir, tequila? Well, all right. I'll have a Chevis on the rocks, please. Well, I had one. And then I had another. And by dinner, I'd had my third. And you get that feeling all of a sudden, it hit me all at once. Jesus, I am rat-assed here. I'm in trouble. I felt fine, you know, I was throwing down. I felt a little warm, had the first one. You know, you're feeling good, you're into the conversation. Then you get into the big food tent, because they had a big tent there when they were serving everybody dinner and they were giving testimonials. It was a very nice evening. And I got over to the table, and you got that lead-legged feeling, you know. Oh, boy, there's big trouble. Naturally, I didn't stop there. I would have had two more over there at the Marmalade Cafe after we got out of there. That Chevis, man, that stuff goes down easier than tequila. But it knocks me out. I don't know what it is. Whiskey is far and away much, much more potent than tequila. I can put away tequila, and there's not a problem. I can, at least I don't think there's a problem. I wake up with bars on the door, but I don't know how I got there, but I feel okay. But whiskey. But this Chevis, I mean, that stuff goes down like water. So I had like six of those. And, man, I was, by the time we walked out of that Lord of the Dance, and by the way, they do move their arms. Thank you very much. Hell of a show. I'm telling you, Mike, you got to go see these guys dancing with that without moving their arms. It's great. Crozier's like, I'm telling you, it's great. Beautiful stage show. The chick that came out and sang all the Irish stuff, that was a little boring. She's just singing. But then when the guys came out and started doing that dancing with the arms flat at their sides and they're kicking around, although at one point I got uncomfortable because it started to look a little bit like square dancing. You know, it just started to look a little bit like Grand Old Opry. Which ain't nothing wrong with that, but I'm not a real big fan of that barnyard stuff. See, that Irish dancing, it's barnyard dancing, but there ain't no barn. There's all the lights, and there's a lot of leprechauns and crap. So you can kind of fake yourself into thinking it's very cultural. There's sort of a druid feel to it. They brought some people out with big capes, and they had big hoods, and there was an ancient feel to this thing, okay? But the minute you stick it in a barnyard, there it is, now I know. And they started to do that, oh, do-si-do, and around your head and up your ass, and oh, boy, I knew it. It's yeah, they're swinging each other with the arms. You know what? Barnyard dancing is the Irish dancing, except they're in a barn. Ho, grab your partner and around we go. And now it's you thought it was Irish dancing. Well, we suckered you into a barnyard dance. You schmuck. And there we are in tuxes, and we're wearing, $85 million outfits. The women have got, they got rings on you could signal ships at sea with. And these guys are barnyard dancing. Anyway, it was really cool. So we split out of there. And as I got over to the cars, I noticed a huge line of cars. They're valeting everybody, okay? I don't know if I got enough time to complete the story. But there's a big, long line of people, and I've got my little valet ticket. I walk over to the guy, and these guys are working their rear ends off. These guys are running back and forth for the cars, and there's people standing there and doing kind of what I did. I walked up. I handed my card to the guy. He said, okay, sir, thank you very much. And he got the card, and then he puts it to the bottom of the stack, and he starts taking the cards and looking for the keys. So I stood there to make sure he'd find the keys because I didn't want to turn around and just walk away. This guy, he was up to his neck in business, and I stood there, and I kept watching, and I kept watching. And he wasn't finding my keys, but I was okay with that because I could see these guys are really running. They're really working. Well, there's a guy standing next to me, and I'd say he's about in his early 60s, pretty well manicured guy. And he's got a good-looking tux, and he's living large. But he's getting upset, and he's saying, I haven't found my keys yet. His wife's behind. 10 minutes I've been standing here. They haven't found the keys. Well, what are you going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll tell you, if they better find these keys. And then the guy said this, they better find these keys or I'm going to skin somebody. And the guy who's collecting the keys in the car, he's standing right there, this little guy who's trying to do his job. I'm going to skin someone. I'm thinking, God. And then the guy is hustling around. He's looking for you. You haven't found my keys yet. I said, well, I'm doing the best I can, sir. Well, look for them. God damn it. And he said, and I'll tell you right now, if they're locked in the car, I'm going to have somebody's ass like that. Thinking to myself, I hope I'm in my late 40s, so I ain't got much long to live, man. I hope by the time I hit my early 60s, if I'm lucky enough, that, man, I can take a chill a little bit. You know, in other words, by the time I get to be that guy's age, I hope I'm chilling a little bit more than that. You're 63 and you're standing there stressing out over your damn car and the keys. Are they locked in or not? This guy's been going through life like a freaking fist. I'm going to skin somebody, he says. So sure enough, I got in my car, came back, and the guy was skinned. His clothes were off, and I'm just kidding. But as I was wheeling out, that clown was still standing there. He ain't skinned anybody yet, but he was looking wasn't looking too good. Wasn't looking good for him or the guy going to park the car. I think the guy hadn't parked his car yet. I think that was it. Let me park it first, sir, then go get... Now, forget it, okay? Just bring me the car if it ain't parked yet. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. Henry Show here. Call us at 1-800-449-8686. So the question I had going through all of that stuff, talk about valet parking, whatever it is. I mean, my experience was with the valet standing there. Listen to this guy. I don't know how many times in my life, maybe I've been one of them. I hope not too much. But I have stood and I've listened to people talking to service people, whether it's a guy parking a car, whether it's somebody who's getting a hot dog, whether it's somebody who's getting a hamburger at McDonald's. I've heard people stand and talk in a very threatening manner or very angry and threatening manner to the people who are getting whatever it is that they want. And here's this guy standing there the other day, and he's saying, I'm going to skin somebody. And he's being very verbal, and he obviously it is intended for the ears of the valet who's going to get his stinking car, looking for his rotten key to get his stinking car. And I'm looking at Beamers. I'm looking at Mercedes. I'm looking at Lexus. I'm looking at the Navigators. I'm looking at the Mercedes SUVs. I'm looking at all of the bravado, all of the automotive bravado that you could possibly want or need crammed into one evening. Yeah, Caddies, the little convertible, those piece of junk. What are those things? Those Cimarrons, all that stuff. And this guy is standing saying, somebody better find my keys. I'm going to skin somebody. And the thought occurred to me. And I mentioned to my wife, I said, I don't know how I would react because it's been a long time since I've been on a job like that. I worked the counter at McDonald's when I was in high school, but beyond that, I was stocking shelves at department stores, and I was doing construction work and things like where you're not really in direct contact with the public. I don't know how I would react with a guy standing there verbalizing, not directly to me, but so that I would hear it, I'm going to skin somebody if my car isn't here. So is it going to make you work faster or slower? See, I guess if I'm a guy and I'm standing there and I'm doing going as fast as I possibly can, I hear the guy saying, if he doesn't find me, he meaning me, doesn't find my car keys, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to have his ass. Does that make me go faster? Because I'm thinking, you know, this guy is obviously a raging moron. I'm going to have to just get his car and get him out of here. That's one school of thought. Boy, this guy thinks he's hot stuff. You know, he thinks he's a badass. I'll go get his car. I'll park, get out of here, right? That's one school of thought. The other school of thought being, you know, I'm going to slow down. Now, I ain't going to do anything this guy wants me to do. I'm going to go as slow as I possibly can. I'll misplace his keys. I'll misplace his... They're not going to fire me. All right? So, I thought I would ask those of you who work service industry jobs and have encountered people who have been this vociferous, who have been this calamitous, who have been this argumentative and vitriolic, who have been this extremely threatening, putting this threatening manner on you, does it tend to make you work faster to get rid of that slob, or do you slow down? Now, I guess most people, because we all think we're tough on some level, would probably say, I slow down, I let that guy cool his heels, man. He's not going to talk to me that way. Or maybe some people say, you know, I got a job to do, man. I got to get this guy out of here. I got to get it done, get his car, get him out of here, get his stinking burger, just do whatever the guy wants. Brought the order back 5 times. You didn't put the cheese on it. Okay, well, you don't want the sauce. I'm sorry, put your stinking secret sauce. These people, I mean, believe me, we got 4 kids. I know what that's like. I want a hamburger, but I don't want lettuce. I don't want tomato, but I do want onion. I only want ketchup in the middle of the bun, and I want it now. You know, that's Chris. That's our 10-year-old. I want 3 hamburgers, ketchup only, with a slice of onion. Hold the pickle, the tomato. Do not hold the lettuce. Cheese on one of them, and on the other one, maybe, I don't know, a Gouda or something. I would just like, what do you mean a Gouda? We're at In-N-Out, man. Come on. Just, I don't know, just something light. A Brie, perhaps? And I'd like strained tangerine juice, strained, to go with the second burger, not the first. And I'd like those order, you know, I'd like them to come concurrent with each other. Guy, what are you, 10, man? What are you talking about? Don't talk to me, man. I know what I'm doing, okay? And I want the strained tangerine juice, all right, in a glass, not a cup. Get the order, get it right, man. I'm going back to these burger stands with the kids 85 times. I can't go into In-N-Out, the easiest joint in the world, because I just go there and get that hamburger. That's all I want. Maybe get that double-double animal. Maybe that 4x4 baby, if you know the password. The password. What is the password over there? For the 4x4. Just say I want a 4x4, yeah. Go over there, man. I'll pack those things in. Ain't no problem. But the kids, good God. Oh, yeah, you got to. They put the sauce on it. What's wrong with the sauce? I don't know. I hate that sauce. Well, it's that Thousand Island dressing crap or whatever that is. It's that, you know, ketchup and mayonnaise and relish. Big wow. I mean, I like it. No, they got to hold the relish. And then Catherine, the 8-year-old, I don't want a burger. Well, we're at In-N-Out Burger, so I guess I want chicken fingers. I ain't got no chicken fingers. Then I want a grilled cheese. Can you guys grill some cheese? Get 2 buns, hold the burger, hold the lettuce, hold the thing. Put the cheese in there, grill that and stick it in there, okay? And I want some French fries, but I don't want the big, make them crispy. I want them softer. They're too crispy. I can't do anything about that, baby. I make her pancakes in the morning before she goes to school. She don't want those real crispy pancakes. She wants them real light. Don't want that. And don't put that toast in there, man. You turn it up too high. She likes warm bread. I mean, in other words, the point being, if you work for these people, and I say these people meaning kids, or if you're just working for the, you know, the customers in general, Jim, it's a tough road to hoe. Riverside on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
You don't sound it.
Well, I got the flu. But...
You got the flu?
Yeah.
Is it only the flu?
That's it. That's all I wanted to catch.
Get the pillow off of your head there. Sounds like you're talking to me from under the bed.
Oh, no. But, hey, I just wanted to tell you, I used to drive Dollar Ride service.
Dollar Ride?
Yeah, it's a handicap service for seniors and disabled.
Oh, swell. It must have been fun.
Oh, I had these seniors that used to gripe all the time about being picked up on time, being dropped off. And
would they scream at you?
Oh, man, sometimes they'd cuss me. But what I used to do is either slow down and take my time getting them there, or else I'd pull over and ask them if they wanted to walk.
Oh, so you got hard ass.
Yeah.
See, everybody says they get hard ass, but I don't think you keep your job that long if you're doing that.
Well, you know what? It's like they have to understand that they're not the only ones out there being served.
I know, but you're not going to get them to understand that.
That worked for me.
Well, what do you mean it worked for you? Then they shut up?
They did.
Are you still working there?
No.
What happened? Yeah, there you go. That's exactly what happens. You gotta find a way to make them feel as if you're listening to what they're doing and doing what they're doing while you're not doing what they want you to do.
Yeah, I know. It's hard.
Like you say, yes, sir, I'm going as fast as I can, and you're going as slow as you can. Something like that. That's hard for you. You have a hard time holding on to jobs. I understand them the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a tendency to tell general managers just to jam it. And then the next thing I'm walking. All right, dear.
Hey, you have a good night.
Hey, well, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Did you hold on to that handicap van, though? It'll give you a ride around town. She stole a handicap van with people in it. One time, Phil, I don't understand what happened. I hijacked a handicap van. What the hell? I don't know what these people want. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. So the question here is, if you've ever done a job, and my man Schaefer here worked the membership desk over at Costco, and you had people in your face morning, noon, and night, but you just put a big smile on your kisser and said, you can jam it, sir. And they loved you for that, right? And now you're working here. Phil Henry Show.
Gracias por volar en la aerolínea aérea de Phil Henry. Estaremos volando a una altitud de 30,000 pies. Oh, y también green card.
(laughs) 1-800-449-8686. And the battle to find suitable bumper music continues on this show. Good God. What's that tonight? Dwayne Eddy? Where'd you get a hold of that, brother? Oh, that's Dick Dale. Okay. Yeah, we like old Dick. If it was Dwayne, if this is Dwayne Eddy, it sucks. But it's Dick Dale, it's all right. Anyway, yes, the long road to suitable bumper music continues on the Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Here is Cerritos on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hi, Phil.
How you doing there?
I'm good. How are you?
Great, ma'am.
Great. I was calling to tell you that I am an exotic dancer / waitress, and both of them are involved with serious service problems.
Boy, no kidding.
Definitely. Well,
now let's look at this for a second. It's not like the guys demanded a service and you need to do it fast. You know what I mean? I wanted that table dance now. Hurry. So exactly what kind of a service problem you're going to have? And my question was really, do you slow down? When somebody is demanding, do you slow down? Do you go quicker? Do you try to go ahead and do what it is they want you to do so you get them the hell out of there? Or do you just shut them down? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, your car phone is so terrible. That's all right. It's not you. It's your phone.
Well, I'm coming from both perspectives as far as waitressing and dancing goes, because in dancing...
Hold on for a minute. Hold on for just a second. Was her car phone as bad when she called? You're lying to me. You knew it was all along. How'd it get so bad all of a sudden she gets on the air? You knew it was bad, and you went ahead and threw that up on the... Yeah, I'm going to... Oh, boy. You're not giving me good service tonight. Ma'am, you there? There you are. Oh, that's better, I think.
It's better?
Yeah, good.
Oh, great.
Go.
I was coming from both perspectives because as a waitress, I hurry things up and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do everything as best I can because that my tip relies on that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how I make my money as a waitress.
Right.
As a dancer, regardless of how bad I do my dance for them, you know, they're like, I want to touch you, and I'm like, love me. You know, you're not touching me, and you don't have that right. I'd like to keep my self-respect.
They're not allowed to do that by law anyway, right?
Right, exactly.
What if someone says to you this, though? What if someone says, I will have Crown Royal, please, in 7 or some crap like that. You bring the drink, they taste it. Hey, baby, this ain't Crown Royal. This is some well crap you're throwing on me. Now, I want that Crown Royal. You know what I mean?
That's in the waitress position. That's when I suck it up and I say, you know what, sir? I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
I will be right back and
right.
let me go get you exactly what you want. And you bring back the same thing, and most of the time, they don't say anything else. They're just, oh, okay, this is much better. And it's the same thing. You can even most of the time bring back the same glass that they had already drank out of.
I've suspected you guys have done that to me. Not you. I mean, not that I go to, but I mean, you know, waiters. I've suspected that that's happened to me. So I regularly will just send a drink back. You know what? This is not Bombay gin. Well, I thought some poured out of the bottle. It ain't. Go ahead. Give me another one. And they'll wind up pouring me Smirnoff or some crap like that. So on the one side, you have to do what they want you to do. On the other side, you tell them no.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a lot of times you have to be careful because I've seen people spit in their food. I have seen people do those horrid things. You hear these horrible stories about waitresses and waiters in the restaurant. Oh, don't be mean to them. They'll spit in their food. They will.
I know they will.
Spit in your food.
I know. And that's why I try to be cool as whenever I can. I honestly do. I try to be as cool as I can. Otherwise, I'm afraid there's a guy back there, yeah, with a vendetta, and he's just going to, like that scene in Casino, you know?
Uh-huh. Ooh. Exactly.
Okay.
It happens. I've seen a girl twirl it around with her fingers. You couldn't tell it was in the spaghetti sauce. I mean, it's gross. But
twirl what around with her finger?
Her spit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. But there's little things that it's like, this person is feeding you your food that you are going to eat, digest, and it's what's going to keep you going. You don't really want to mess with her.
No.
You know?
Have you ever had anybody say to you, hey, could I have another one of these and a little more spit, please? Because that last one.
No, I've never spit in anyone's food myself.
All right.
I'm like, I'm one of the cheery waitresses, but I'm a mean dancer. So it's when people, like, I'm going to get paid for my dance regardless because I'm just going to grab the bouncer and say, okay, look, he's touching me, and I've danced for him for 2 seconds. And,
well, let's say the guy didn't touch you. Let's say the guy didn't touch you. Did you ever had a guy say, you know, that lap dance sucked. I'm not giving you $20 for that.
Well, you say, I'm sorry, but that was the full song, and I could be dancing for somebody else. Getting my $20, he is required. If he goes to get a dance, he's required to pay, and the bouncer will take his driver's license, his credit card, take everything from him. And one of my managers actually gets their driver's license,
mm-hmm.
calls their house, and has talked to their wife. Oh, yeah, your husband was in here the other day, and he owes us $20, so just remind him to come on down.
Oh, you go. Those guys have got such balls in those strip bars. You know, they don't care.
Yeah.
Have they really?
Yeah.
Have they really?
Oh,
yeah.
It's funny. We have all these licenses all over the bulletin board that says, this guy owes so-and-so $10, this guy owes so-and-so $30, you know, and I mean, even for $5, these girls will get so angry.
Well, I mean, if they're taking your driver's license and your credit card before you go in the quote back, as you put it, then I don't think anybody's going to be emboldened to screw around.
Oh, no, they don't take it before. They take it when the girl says, no, you have to pay me. That's when the bouncer steps up and says, sorry, and grabs the guy, takes him in the back to the manager's office.
Beats the crap out of him, puts a chainsaw to his neck. Oh, okay.
Well,
listen, thanks very much for your call tonight.
That was my pleasure.
Make some money. Break a leg.
1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. Break a boob. You're a piece of work, Shafe. I'm going to tell your old lady where you were last night. He was at your house, Renee. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Los Angeles. Hi.
Yes, sir. I'm listening to you talking about, I told you screening about, that I have an auto detailing business, and I really believe that you have to work as fast as you can, okay? Okay, because, like, what you're doing is you are servicing that customer who has asked for a job, like in my line of work, okay? I do not make any money standing around. I have to detail cars. I do about, like, 8 or 9 cars in a day, okay? And the faster I work, okay, and the better I do the job, the customer going to come back. I do not believe, okay, in, okay, not doing the job, okay. That's
all right, so you work really fast?
I work really fast. I have an auto detailing business.
How old are you?
I'm 20 years old. And
You're 20 and you've got your own auto detailing business. Congratulations.
Well, it, for me, okay, it's about doing, okay, the job the best I can, okay, because a lot of my people... I'm Latin, and I think a lot of people look on Latin people, okay, as like they don't work too fast, okay, and they're not, okay, they're always like whatever, you know, mañana, all that, okay. And my philosophy is because I want to work my way up eventually for my dream, which is eventually I want to get my PGA tour card, okay.
You want to get a what? A PGA Tour card?
Right. That's my dream. Okay.
And you want to get on the PGA Tour, huh?
That's been my dream since I was like 8. Okay. I've been playing golf since I was like 8, 9 years old. Okay. And it's always my dream, and I feel that, okay, if I make enough money, okay, that I'm going to get up to the level where I can compete, okay, for the PGA, because I'm a very, very good golfer. I've been golfing since I was 8 or 9, okay? I've got, okay, like a real, I mean, you know, talent for it. And
well, we're talking here about you working really hard to do what they want you to do, even if they're abusive?
Okay, in my opinion, okay, they are spending a lot of money, okay, for the job that they want me to do, okay? And I'm gonna do that job, okay? I mean, I'm not there, okay, to slow down, okay, or argue with them, okay? Because every job that I turn away, somebody else is gonna get the job, okay? And I know other guys, okay, have got auto detailing businesses up and down the street, right? Okay, in Pico Rivera, which is where my business is.
All right.
Right, and they will lose business, and I will get that business, okay? Because eventually what I want to do is get out of that business.
And you want to get your PGA Tour card, huh?
Right. I've been golfing my whole life, and
are you good?
I'm very good. I'm a very good golfer. I break par. Okay, I look at a PGA Tour right now. I could take those guys apart the way I play golf. And
you're looking at the PGA Tour. What is your handicap?
I'm a scratch golfer.
You're scratch.
Right. I've broken par at Whittier Narrows. I broke par the number one course of Wilson. I got the course record at Mission Hills. I broke par at Eaton Canyon. I broke par at Hanson Dam. My dream is to show them how it's done at that one course down south. I'm trying to think of the one.
You're 20 years old. What is your name, pal?
Phil, my name's Luis Villanueva. People call me Brass.
Brass? That's your nickname?
It's my nickname, right.
And you're 20 years old, and you're a scratch golfer, and you want to get your tour card, huh? Have you been to any of these qualifyings?
No. Right now, I concentrate on my business as much as I can. I play golf on the weekend. I play golf early in the morning before I come to the shop, okay? And I'm saving my money as best I can because I know if I don't have a sponsorship, okay, when I get on the tour, okay, I'm gonna have to, okay, support myself.
No, that's right. I mean, the sponsorship, they say that you got to earn something like 70 G's to cover yourself.
Right. But I'm good. I'm really good. I've watched all these dudes on the tour, okay, who the young guys, I think a lot of them. I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful or anything, but I think a lot of them are chump change, you know. I mean,
chump change? I mean, like, what about Tiger Woods?
Tiger Woods, okay, he's good, but I could take him apart.
You could take Tiger Woods apart?
I could take him apart. I could, because I'm that good. And I know, and I play, I play with a partial bag of clubs, too, okay? I have a driver, I have a 7-iron, I have a putter, I have a sand wedge.
You're playing with 4 clubs?
I play with 4 clubs, yeah. And I have busted par I broke par out at Desert Falls. I broke par at Oak Valley. I busted par just about every course I've ever played. And I'm that good. And my dream someday is to go down to, you know, that course everybody plays, you know, all them. I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's that big, it's where all them cats play.
Where is it?
It's down south, like Mississippi or Alabama or something. It's a big course, okay, and like all of them, Palmer and all them play down there. They have the, I don't know the name of the tournament.
Are you talking about Augusta, the Masters?
Yeah, Augusta National. I could take that course apart.
You're kidding.
No, I could take that course apart. I could break par on that course every round. That's how good I am. And I have confidence in myself. And all I say to all the other young Latin males listening to your show tonight is if you got enough confidence in yourself and you do your business the way you're supposed to and you're not out there getting in the customer's face, slowing down on the job, like that is a whole hang-up a lot of Latin people got. You know, they got that there's like a stereotype that Latin people are slow, you know. I'm not slow at all. I work my ass off, you know. I mean, I'm sorry, excuse my language.
That's all right.
But I work really hard, okay, and I'm not slow at all. And that's doing a job so that someday I go out on a PGA Tour because I can beat any one of them. I could beat Davis Love. I could beat Tiger Woods. I could beat Furyk. I could beat any one of them. And I'll tell you now, I went out on a course one day. Any one of them seniors, I could beat.
Dude, you've been golfing around all of these courses in L.A. since you were 8?
Since I was 8 years old, I was caddying when I was like 10. I mean, I don't mean to be disrespectful. They're all chumps. And all them seniors are total, like 200% chumps. because I can beat them. They play on a short course. They're riding in their carts and all of that. I mean, I'm that good. And I would like to someday, my dream is to get on the PGA Tour, okay, and, like, follow in the footsteps of my idol is Lee Trevino because he's Latin, and Chichi Rodriguez is Latin, and I'd like to follow in footsteps. I'd like to be a golfer out there because a lot of times I'll go and try to get a start time or whatever, and they see my last name. I have a Hispanic last name, right? And so they think I'm going to be slow because a lot of Latin golfers are slow, you know. A lot of those Latins are slow. They get a lot of slow play out there, looking for their ball, whatever. And what I want to do is go out on the tour. I want to be another Latin player who is, you know, plays fast and plays good. And
well, I mean, I don't think that there's a lot of Latin players that play slow.
No, they do. They think they play slow, you know. And that's all I'm trying to say is that I'm gonna go out and conquer the PGA Tour to the best of my ability. But I have to do the job now.
Well, Brass, hold a line here, okay? Because I want to ask you a little bit more about your. About your golf exploits. What's that kid's name? Brass? He's broken par, he says, at all of these courses, and he wants his PGA card. He's 20 years old. So he's got an auto detailing business trying to save enough money so he can get a, you know, so he can support himself on a tour. Now that's what I call initiative. 1-800-449-8686. And by the way, he does that. He conducts his business in such a way so that he doesn't make anybody mad. He just does what they want. When they want it and how they want it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Let's get Brass on here. You like Brass or Luis?
Phil, I like the name Brass. That's what my friends call me. I feel like a nickname, you know, but could call me Luis if you want to.
No, whatever you're comfortable with. I mean, if you were, and you claim to be so good as a golfer.
Well, I'm not claiming, okay? I am. And I know it's difficult for people to understand that I have that kind of, confidence in myself, but I'm very, very confident in myself. I played golf for a long time. My dream is to be PGA Tour, and I can take down, you know, Tiger Woods.
You can take him down?
I can take him down. There's not a problem. There's a lot of things wrong with his swing. I looked at him. I've studied him. I've studied David Duval. I have studied some of the better golfers. John Daly, you know, who had it and lost it. I look at his swing. I look at the things he's doing wrong, and I will make my mark. I will pick up where Lee Trevino, Chichi Rodriguez, all the great Latin golfers, you know, left off, you know, because, like, here's my thing, okay? My thing is I want to do, kind of bring back, I don't know, showmanship, okay, to the game, like Chichi Rodriguez, okay, who's one of my heroes, okay? He do, you know, when he sinks a putt, a long putt, he does that swashbuckler thing.
Yeah, he pulls his putter and he starts doing a, like he's a sword fighter.
Like, right. I have a thing I do when I sink a long putt. I genuflect, I cross myself, and I, you know, like, give a kiss to the Virgin Mary, who is, you know, like, okay, who my inspiration, you know. She's, like, looking out for me, okay?
And, well, what is that? Is that for show, or is that...
That's for show, yeah. You know, the fans see that. I do a quick genuflection, a very quick sign of the cross, and, you know, a thing to the Virgin Mary. It's a bit of a Latin flash thing that I do.
A Latin? Well, a lot of people are Catholic, okay?
Well, I know, but the Latins are the only ones that will cross themselves. Like, black folks and Latin people, we cross ourselves after a touchdown. All that. You don't see a white man do that, you know. That's a Latin thing. And that's like a black thing, too, but it's mostly a Latin thing.
Well, listen, I got to tell you, I got some people on the line who want to talk to you. One of whom has an inn at Augusta, and there's another gentleman here who is familiar with the professional tour in Irvine, sir.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
How you doing tonight?
Good.
Do you play on a tour, or?
My dad did.
Oh, who was your father?
I won't say, but he doesn't play anymore, but he used to.
Is he a senior?
He'd probably be on the senior tour now. But I do have a lot of friends on the PGA Tour now.
Does your dad play the senior tour?
No, he does not. He retired.
Oh, okay.
He's a consultant for the PGA Tour.
Oh, okay.
But he was pretty good, I have to say. Made a decent living.
Are you Latin?
No, I'm not. But I would love to have another guy like Chichi or Lee on the tour.
Yeah, they were so good. I thought they were very, very showmanship, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've met Lee Trevino, and the guy is just unbelievably nice. And he's a great golfer. But okay, more than that, he's a great showman. You're right, he is. But I don't know if I do all the stuff that you're talking about. That's more for the end zone of a football team.
Right, right. But I think, okay, that the sport needs, okay, some kind of, I don't know, what you would say, you know, just a little flash like that.
A shot in the arm.
Right, right.
It doesn't need a shot in the arm. The white dude's out there a little more businesslike, and I'd have to agree with that. And I'm a white guy. What can I tell you? And I never.
Well, they're a little more cookie cutter. Who is a flashy, flashy white
guy? Business. It's very businesslike.
But the thing is, I have my shot. I'll get my shot. You know, when I save enough money, I can go out on tour and support myself, like on a Nike tour.
There you go.
On the Nike tour, support myself. Because right now, I'm that good.
Well, let me tell you how to get there. How to get there? You know what the Q school is?
I know the Q school, yeah.
You know the Q school?
But I have to have enough time right now to go through the qualifying rounds.
You need a sponsor.
Right, that's it.
You need a sponsor for the bread to keep you going until you can get somebody, until you can prove to everybody else what you say is the reality of how good you are.
Well, it is. I am that good.
And get the Q school, make the qualifying, get your PGA Tour card,
and
then go at it.
Like right now, I could go out and I could win senior. Like I could play the seniors. I'd smoke them.
I think I could beat the seniors, actually.
I could smoke the seniors.
Well, you could beat the seniors.
I beat them.
There's some good players.
I'd smoke them because they're old, you know.
Well,
they're playing on short courses. They're playing a teaser moved up. You know.
That's a marketing scheme for the PGA. That's not a problem.
But, what do you mean? I mean, the marketing scheme. I mean, they play a short course, and they
bring people in.
What?
It brings people in, the older people. And I'll have to put myself into that category. I still like watching Nicklaus and Trevino and Palmer.
Yeah, I mean, I love what they did for the sport. I appreciate what Palmer and Nicklaus and all of them did for the sport. But I am good enough right now, at age of 20, I could go out and smoke Jack Nicklaus.
Well, you got to remember, it's not a game against an individual. It's a game against the course and yourself.
You know,
remember that.
You know anybody that could get a game going with one of them just to show what I could do.
You could go out there and smoke Jack Nicklaus.
That's not a problem.
Just go to Q school and you'll prove it to everybody else, and you hit Q school.
Thanks.
And you'll get your tour card and you'll be able to make money. Now, as far as
thanks for calling. We don't need the whole story, just part of it. 1-800-449-8686.